Your Merry Christmas, Merry Nixmas, Happy Holidays, Nick fans. This is Josh So Focused welcoming you to the Nick's Take Podcast. This is episode 68, and we bring you the biggest Nick's news of the week. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter/X by searching for the Nick's Take. Also, make sure you check out our website, nickstake.com. If you like the episode that you're about to hear, please make sure that you give us 5 stars on iTunes. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button on YouTube. Hit that notification bell so that you know you're notified when one of our episodes are up, or if we're putting any clips or anything like that up, you guys will be able to watch that as soon as we drop. And most importantly, please share this with your friends, family, anybody that you know that's a Knicks fan, especially, let them know, hey, this is a pretty good podcast, and I think you should listen to it because it's pretty good. And let's go. The Knicks Take Podcast. Yeah, what it do? Mobbing with the crew, nothing new. I thought you knew, thought I was falling off. Blessings keep on falling through. All right, so brief outline for today. We're going to go over the past week's games where the Knicks faced off against the Los Angeles Clippers, the Los Angeles Lakers. They also faced off against Brooklyn, little brother, Brooklyn Nets. Not at home, but kind of at home. And they also faced off and ended the week against the Milwaukee Bucks. In addition to that, we got some injury updates for you in regards to Mitchell Robinson. And also, we're going to have a Knicks topic of the week where we go over once again this whole NBA star question in relation to the New York Knicks. If you have not heard by now, some people up there just keep bringing it up. The Knicks need a star. I'm going to talk about that. And we're going to go over the upcoming games. The Knicks will be playing against some teams next week. I'm going to give you a little bit of details on that and give you my predictions on those games as well. Programming note before I get started. As you can see, once again, this is a solo podcast. This is just me, Josso Focused. French the Bro host will not be on this episode. He is a little bit under the weather. And programming note, I'm not sure if, well, let me just say the programming note is this episode will probably be releasing a little bit late. I will be sectioning off this part of the podcast so that those of you who are watching will know, hey, because of Christmas, it's the holidays, this episode will be probably releasing on Wednesday. And that way, if you don't see us on Tuesday, that's the reason why. We'll keep it going. We'll get through this pretty quickly, I think, today, since it's just me talking to myself and you. All right. So, Mitchell Robinson. Last time, my brother French here notified you guys that he has suffered an ankle injury, and that required surgery. The timetable put him out up until around February, where he would be reevaluated. Well, since my brother has recorded that, the Knicks have applied for the disabled player exception. What that means is the Knicks are asking the league, hey, can you give us an exception that we can use to acquire another player because we believe this player that is injured will not return for the rest of the season, which was shocking news for most of us because now it's like, hold on, I thought he was only going to be out for a couple months and then we'll get him back in the season. You applying for this and it basically means that you don't think we're going to get Mitchell Robinson back for the whole year, even including the playoffs. So, with that, one can reasonably surmise that the Knicks don't expect Mitchell Robinson to come back for the rest of the season because you can only apply for this exception if it can be proved that the player will reasonably miss the entire season up until middle of June, which would be after the finals. Now, you hear this news and automatically what goes from slightly deflating, slightly deflating news to hear that your defensive player of, I wouldn't say defensive player of the year candidate, but an all defense candidate in Mitchell Robinson, who's led the backbone, led the line, held the line, excuse me, for the New York Knicks defensively. He's not going to be there for the whole year. Now this makes what was once a top 10 defense in the league and suddenly look very, you know, penetratable when it comes down to regular season games and playoff games. And it suddenly caps the height of this team. Before you say, okay, the Knicks could probably make the second round, and depending on who they match up against, maybe they can make a conference finals. Now you can probably be like, can this Knicks team even get past the first round, depending on who they play against? Will they finish the league in the top four, top five, the way that I believe that they would, as a fully healthy team coming into the season? Now all of these things change. But the way that the New York Knicks organization, how they move very secretively, very confusingly sometimes for those of us on the outside looking in, they don't really give us a lot of details. They don't put anybody out there to ask these questions. The only person that we can ask, or not we, but beat reporters, journalists, and all of those, the only person they can ask is Tom Thibodeau. And Tom Thibodeau publicly stated that, nah, Mitchell Robinson's timetable is still the same, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. He'll probably be back around February, and then he'll be reevaluated, and we'll see when he'll be back. These two things do not align. I don't know if the front office is not talking to Tom Thibodeau. I don't know if Tom Thibodeau is just putting out statements to, make the fans feel better. I don't know what to make of any of this. So I think the only thing that we can do as Knicks fans is to wait until February, wait to see if the Knicks are granted this disabled player exception. If they're not granted this disabled player exception, then maybe we can expect Mitchell Robinson to return for the playoffs, which would be a huge boon for the Knicks. I think that depending on where the Knicks finish off in the season, they will absolutely need Mitchell Robinson healthy and available. Just as another body. Like, I think if he's coming back late in the season, I think Isaiah Hartenstein will still probably need to start. You probably can't start Mitch as he's trying to get back in shape, try to get back in playing shape. But you'll need the both of them. You'll need the both of them to hold down the fort, to protect the rim, to help the Knicks execute their defensive schemes especially against the best of the best in the league. But mostly against the other guys who the Knicks are better than when they are fully healthy. If you want these games to end up in your favor, you'll need that rim protection that both Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein provide. And that's all I have for the as far as an update. I think I'll go into the defensive. I'll go into the disabled player exception a little bit. Basically, disabled player exception, if they are granted this, the Knicks will be awarded an exception that they can use for a trade or to sign a player that will cost them up to half of Mitchell Robinson's annual salary, which would be $7.8 million for the season. It can only be used on a player who is on their last year, who's on an expiring contract, who's on the last year of their contract. And you can't like combine it with other exceptions or other money or other players. You can only use it on one player. You can't split it up to acquire multiple players. So there's a very limited amount of use for this disabled player exception. And it's very hard to kind of see how the Knicks will use this money, in order to acquire more talent if Mitchell Robinson cannot return. This is just something that is going to bear further monitoring until we get more updates, until we get more information. And I don't think there's much more you could say. It's just so confusing. You wish you had a little bit more clarity. You wish the Knicks could give you more clarity on this situation. Mitchell Robinson is posting on his social media stuff about him being upset because he tries hard to work on his body and things like this happen. And, you know, it doesn't sound good when you listen to Mitch. It doesn't sound good when you hear that the Knicks are applying for this disabled player exception. But you just wonder, like, okay, why would the Knicks put out this timeline? Why after this news comes out, does Thibodeau still say they have this timeline? And, you know, can't make heads or tails of it for right now. So with that, let us go into this past week's games. So I think the same day that my brother recorded, actually, I think it was Monday. The Knicks played the Los Angeles Clippers on December 16th, 2023. And yeah. No, I was wrong. It was Saturday because it was the second half of a back-to-back. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Second half of a back-to-back. The first half was that amazing game that my brother covered with the Knicks versus the Phoenix Suns. And that Friday night, we went to bed happy. We woke up the next morning. French came on here, and he was like, yeah, the Knicks can beat anybody. The Knicks are the best team. He didn't say that they were the best team in the league, but he didn't see any team that the Knicks could not beat, which I found very interesting. If you felt like that, and you come into the next game with the Los Angeles Clippers, and I can see reasonably you saying the Knicks would feed off of that energy from the Phoenix Suns, right? Feed off of that energy, bring that against the Clippers, win both halves of the back-to-back away from home. And it's just really hard to do that. It's really hard to beat two really good teams. If you want to say one of them or both of them are great teams, you could make that argument for the Phoenix Suns and the Los Angeles Clippers. It's really hard to just play two teams in a back-to-back, not back-to-back at home, back-to-back away. You got to go from Phoenix to Los Angeles and take both of those games when they have superstar talent like Kevin Durant, like Devin Booker, like Kawhi Leonard, like Paul George, like James Harden. You have to be one of the best teams in the league to do that. And Knicks came into this game. They played okay in the first half. I'll give them that. They played okay in the first half. They were right there with the Clippers for a little while, and stayed there, except for the fact that our starting center Jericho Sims starting in place of Mitchell Robinson, so that Isaiah Hartenstein can remain with that backup unit. Sims was absolutely getting abused by Ivica Zubac, and it just became evident that he wouldn't be able to hold up to the task. And by the end of the second quarter, which is not on Jericho Sims, let me just clarify, is just a thing that you can note watching him play. By the end of the second quarter, the Knicks were playing very well. And then all of a sudden, the Los Angeles Clippers go off and knock down three after three after three. And execute their offense the way that they want, execute their defense the way that they want. The Knicks finding it very hard to score, finding it very hard to get anything done at the end of the second quarter. And what was initially a tie game, within a couple of minutes, the Clippers started extending their lead, or they took the lead, they started extending the lead, and next thing you know, it's a 10-point lead at halftime. And you're like, okay, it's not bad. Okay, we were right there just a second ago. If the Knicks come out in the second half and execute the way that we know that they're capable of executing, this could still be a close game. But that is not what happened, ladies and gentlemen. The Clippers extended their run starting at the end of the second quarter into the third quarter, and Kawhi Leonard was absolutely killing whatever the Knicks put up in front of him. He ended up finishing the game with 36 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. Paul George, brought him up before. He had a good game. James Harden, he had a good game. Vucevic Subac had another good game, mostly on the strength that the Knicks, they no longer have 48 minutes of solid center production, which is something that they hung their hat on all year. And Zubac is matched up against Jericho Sims. Jericho Sims can't handle that. You could see where this is going. The Knicks did not play well in the second half. The Clippers absolutely took the game out of reach for the New York Knicks. Knicks got blown out 144 to 122, continuing the streak of high scoring games that the Knicks are allowing teams to score in the 120s, 130s, 140s since the loss of Mitchell Robinson, but also kind of extending before that. You know, the Knicks defense has just not been good. And, you know, at the end of the game, you're like, you know what? This is the second half of a back-to-back against another good team. You could consider the Clippers team, now that they've figured it out, you can consider them a title contender if this continues for the rest of the year. They've had a lot of good games, a lot of good wins since Russell Westbrook has gone to the bench. I believe they came into this game on a streak, and it was just going to always be difficult for the Knicks to beat this team unless the Clippers were still struggling to figure it out. And by the time the Knicks faced this team, it was clear. They figured out what needs to be done. Kawhi Leonard is still one of the best in the league. Paul George is still one of the best two-way players in the league. He's still, you know, you could still consider him a star. Maybe not the guy that you build your team around, but if he's your number two, you're good. You could consider yourself a title contender. The Knicks just have nothing for the Clippers when they're playing like this. And you know, they were tired. You know, you could consider this a schedule loss. You could consider this, you know, you can't play that great 2 games in a row. You can say a lot of different things about this, but you know, it's hard to kind of grade this game for the Knicks considering it was the second half of the back to back. If they had a game in between and this was still a blowout, I think you would be able to surmise which one was, you know, whether it was more important that this was the second half of a back-to-back or whether it was just the Clippers' dominance. But that's not something that we can do at this point in time. I do think that it has to do with, I think both of those things contributed to why the Knicks lost in the way that they did. This was not a game in the second half. And let's move on to the other Los Angeles game. The Knicks played the Los Angeles Lakers on, sorry, I forgot to write the date. The Knicks played the Los Angeles Lakers on December 19th, Tuesday. They had 2 days after that Clippers blowout. They stayed in LA. They got to get their rest, so it's not really too much travel. And I thought that the fact that they were able to get a couple of days after that Clippers game, they got to study up on their opponent. I came into this game thinking that the Knicks would absolutely show up against the Los Angeles Lakers. And they did. I thought it was a really good game. I thought it was a back and forth game the whole way through. On the tip off, Jericho Sims, our starting center, for whatever reason, still starting against Anthony Davis, who we already know Jericho Sims can't put him on Anthony Davis. There was a lot of questions as far as why Tom Thibodeau was continuing this project, this experiment with Jericho Sims starting. You need to keep Isaiah Hartenstein with that bench unit, but you're potentially giving the Knicks a harder path to victory by matching him up in this way. The Knicks could have been down big early, against the Los Angeles Lakers because of this whole Jericho Sims on Anthony Davis situation. But on the tip-off, Jericho Sims appeared to land on Anthony Davis, on Anthony Davis's foot and tweaked his ankle. He played for a few possessions. He came out of the game. He did not return. And, you know, that meant big minutes for Isaiah Hartenstein, and that meant minutes for Taj Gibson throughout the game. The Knicks played very well, played very consistently throughout the game. LeBron James, in particular, seemed to be conserving his energy up until the second half, seemed to be like he wasn't going after rebounds. He wasn't defending, really. He was missing a lot of bunnies, a lot of layups, a lot of things that you would expect him to make. And the Knicks were just being consistent. Manuel quickly played very well. You know, shot the ball well. He was skipping and hopping, and you thought that, okay, he could possibly go off. Jalen Brunson had another great game. Jalen Brunson ended the game with 29 points, 3 assists, 4 rebounds. And Julius Randle also had a pretty decent game. I think, let me just say this about Julius Randle, who had 27 points, by the way, 14 rebounds. Julius Randle is absolutely a star player. The problem with Julius Randle sometimes is the lack of effort. Sometimes. And this is not a segment to crap on Julius Randle. Let me say that first and foremost before some of you are like, oh, here he goes again, getting ready to shit on Randle. No, that's not what this is. I have such a high and profound respect for Julius Randle's game because I can see that if he puts it all together, he is one step away from being a top 10 player in the league, right? He has a lot of people, there's been a lot of discourse in regards to Julius Randle, in regards to whether he is the best player or not from non-Knicks fans, and reporters and things like that, people discussing the Knicks. Jalen Brunson is absolutely the leader of this team. He's absolutely the best player on this team. But Julius Randle could be that. He doesn't need to be the off-the-court leader. He doesn't have to be this vocal leader or anything like that. But if his mentality when it comes to the game changes to where he is more in line with the rest of his team, the rest of the New York Knicks players, that is a player who absolutely could be first team All-NBA. That is a player who could be an MVP type level player, right? There is nothing stopping him from being that except for himself and the desire to improve himself in the way that Jalen Brunson does. Another guy that I'll be talking about later, RJ Barrett, puts in that work to become a better player. And the difference between RJ Barrett and Julius Randle is that Julius Randle has the tools that if he puts forth that same effort, he would be a top 10 player in the league. He can average over 25 points a game. He can average double digit rebounds per game. He can average more than 6 assists per game. He can get you 50 plus points. He can do a lot of these things, and it's just mental lapses in games that prevent him from getting there. And this Los Angeles Lakers game was kind of, this is a game that you would highlight to say, if he played like this all the time, and I don't think this was Randle's best game, mind you, right? This is not his best game. It's not the best game of his career. This is not his best effort game. But this was a really, really good Randle game. And if his baseline is somewhere around this game, you are talking about an MVP level type player. Julius Randle has the potential. That's all I wanted to say. This game showed it. This game showed that the Knicks don't win this game without Julius Randle scoring 54% from the field. Even though he shot it only 25% from three, the 14 rebounds, the physicality that he had, you know, the 27 points. He was a plus 17, the highest on the Knicks for this game. The Knicks don't win this game without him bringing that effort. And he deserves the requisite amount of time just to praise him for that. AD was on one. AD was on one. LeBron James brought that conserved energy out in the second half. This was, once again, a good game throughout the entire game. But the Knicks took the lead in the second half and in the fourth quarter refused to relinquish that lead. The Lakers, to their credit, they're still one of the best teams in the West. I know a lot of people don't want to give them that title contender, title. But they absolutely, if LeBron is able to stay healthy and play the way that he's playing, and AD is able to play the way that he's playing, they've got Austin Reeves coming off of the bench. They seem to have an identity. It wouldn't shock me if the Lakers ended up being in the Western Conference Finals. It would not. With all of that said, the Knicks staved off that comeback from the Lakers, staved off LeBron James taking over, staved off Anthony Davis just abusing whoever was on him defensively. And they ended the game 114-109 as the victors. Very nice statement win to end a four-game Western road trip where the Knicks went 2-2. And this is games that featured the Phoenix Suns, the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Los Angeles Clippers. And they were one game away from being 3-1. They should have beat the Utah Jazz. They didn't. You go to the Western Conference and you come back at 500 or above, you're a good team. Point blank, period. Knicks leave what was the Staples Center, and now it's called Crypto Arena, and head to Brooklyn. And little brother, what can I say about the Brooklyn Nets? There was a point in time where the Brooklyn Nets thought that they could take the city from the New York Knicks. And if Brooklyn, when they had Kevin Durant, when they had Kyrie Irving, when they had James Harden, if they had made it to the finals, there was a slight chance that they could have done that. If they had won a title, there was a slightly bigger chance that they could have done that. If they had won multiple titles, there was a very good chance that they could have done that. They never did anything with it. They lost all of those players. They got Mikal Bridges. They're still a good team, but they're not a team who is on the level of the New York Knicks now. The Knicks took over this game, which occurred on December 20th. They took over this game in Brooklyn, in the Barclays Center, and never gave up. They kept the Nets between high single digits and low double digits after the first quarter. And that's basically, like, when you do that and the team can't come back to 3-2, tie the game, like, there's not much you can say about this team. When you see that in a game, there's one team that's clearly better, and there's another team who's just not on that level. The Brooklyn Nets are not on our level right now. The Nets will probably make it to the playoffs or the play-ins. They'll probably end up as one of the 8 seeds to make it into the postseason. They have good talent. They have scorers. They have defenders. But there's not really much that I can say about this game that is going to be, interesting. Julius Randle had a ho-hum 26 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Not necessarily a great Randle shooting performance, but another game where it's just like, y'all can't guard this man. Same thing with Jalen Brunson. Y'all can't guard Jalen Brunson. He had a ho-hum 16 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. Like, the Knicks didn't play their best game, and they still outplayed the Brooklyn Nets the entire game. They made the lead 20 point, I got the lead up to 20 points in the second half. And like, it was like, yeah, this game is over. This game is over before it even started. Knicks win 121-102. Once again, the Nets are not in the Knicks league. Like, they're not. They've got a good little story, but I'm failing to see the path unless they get I don't like doing this because I'm about to talk about later that I don't like other people doing this about the Knicks. The Nets need another great player. You know, not necessarily that 1A star that people are saying that the Knicks need, but they need another player to just be in the same conversation as the Knicks. And they just aren't. Now, the next game is going to be very similar to that last game against the Brooklyn Nets. Just flip it on its head, right? The Knicks played the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday. I was at this game, actually, in the Garden. It was a 12:30 tip-off. It was me and my mother. Hello, Mom. How you doing? One thing that French did not say last week, I gave him some stuff, you know, hoping that he would mention me, and he completely forgot about his older brother. So thanks a lot for that, French. And then didn't show up this week. So yeah, I'm definitely slandering you in this episode. I told him, yeah, I think the Knicks will sweep the week. I told you guys the week before that I thought that the Knicks would take that Clippers game. And had I realized that it was the second half of a back-to-back, I probably would have said no, they're not winning that game. And I thought the Knicks had a good chance of sweeping the week, mostly because we've already played the Milwaukee Bucks twice before this game. We got one game where we almost beat them, the second game where we got mollywopped. And I thought that considering that the Knicks, which I'll talk about, how many more times Knicks have to play the Milwaukee Bucks, I thought that this was the game that the Knicks absolutely needed to take. Not because I think that they're the better team, but because you've lost twice, one of them in very convincing fashion. This is the game where you show, all right, we not gonna let y'all just do whatever y'all want to us. Like, this is the effort game that you have to have after the getting knocked out of, bounced out of the in-season tournament the way that you were, after losing that game that you probably could have won earlier in the season. The Bucks are the better team. Like, that's essentially what I'm trying to tell you. The Bucks are the better team. This is the team. This is the game. It's a noon game, Saturday at home. This is the game that you have to just come out, blitz them, catch them off guard, steal a win that you shouldn't have won. That's not what happened. The Bucks essentially took over from tip-off, same kind of way that the Knicks did in the previous game against the Brooklyn Nets. Then the Bucks kept the Knicks between high single digits and low double digits after the first quarter, just like the Knicks did against the Nets. In the second half, the Bucks built up that double-digit lead to 20 points, just like the Knicks did against the Nets. And just like the Nets are not on the Knicks level, the Knicks are not on the Bucks level. And this is a matchup. This is a matchup problem for the Knicks. The matchup problems can only be overcome when you have high-level play from everybody playing 1 through 9 in the rotation. And the Knicks did not have high-level play from everybody, 1 through 9. And why do the Knicks need high-level play? The fact that Brunson can't guard any of Milwaukee Bucks perimeter players, any of their guards, can't guard Damian Lillard, can't guard Malik Beasley. That's a problem. And Randle can't guard Giannis Antetokounmpo, and he can't protect the rim. Those two things make it very difficult for the Knicks to beat the Milwaukee Bucks. If you can hide Brunson, or if you can hide Randle, it's a very good chance that the Knicks win. But if they can't be hidden, you got to win the possession battle. The Knicks lost the possession battle against the Milwaukee Bucks. You've got to shoot the three. The Knicks shot under 30% from three. This is not how you play. If you want to beat this Milwaukee Bucks team featuring Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard, two of the best players in the NBA at their positions, you cannot lose the effort battle. You cannot lose the rebound battle. You have to get your assists up. And you know, and with that said, I had a problem with Julius Randle, who, when you look at his stats, right, it wasn't bad, right? 26 points, 8 rebounds. All of those 8 rebounds, mind you, or excuse me, not all of them, the majority of those 8 rebounds from Julius Randle came in the second half. In the second half, Julius Randle, oh no, I'm actually wrong. It did not come in the second half. He only had 3 rebounds in the second half. But I came into this game thinking that Julius Randle was going to A, pass the ball and get open shots for his teammates. He did not. That's through no fault of his own, though. I can't blame him too much for that. I can't blame him too much for that because of how poorly everyone else shot. Julius Randle only had 1 assist for the entire night, a very low assist rate. There was a point in time where he had 0 assists and somebody was like, has he ever had 0 assists in a game? I'm not sure that he has this season. And 8 rebounds when you're missing Mitchell Robinson, when Isaiah Hartenstein, who started this game in foul trouble because 2 minutes in, he already had 2 fouls. The fact that he had missed so much time and still finished the game. He didn't play a lot in the first half and he still finished the game with more rebounds than Julius Randle. He finished with 13 rebounds. I had an issue with that. I had an issue with some of the decision making that Julius Randle did. And he lost the battle against Giannis Antetokounmpo, which, you know, fine. Everybody's not going to win the battle. But this was not the same Julius Randle who played against LeBron James and Anthony Davis and put forth that effort, got those 14 rebounds and with all of the points that he scored. This is not the same Julius Randle. He didn't put the team on his back the way that he did against the Lakers. It didn't seem like he was engaged to that degree, which maybe I'm being too hard on Julius. But I'm at least comfortable saying maybe I'm too hard on Julius. Jalen Brunson showed up. He did what he could. It wasn't that his defensive rotations were poor. It's just that he's small. A lot of times Malik Beasley, who the Knicks had on him, just rose up and shot over him, and that was it. And, you know, I can't be mad at Brunson for being short. It is what it is. You have to hide him on defense. If the Bucks beat you because Malik Beasley is shooting jumpers over Jalen Brunson, who's right underneath him, you tip your cap. That's not why the Knicks lost this game. The Knicks lost this game because no one showed up. If you want to say Julius Randle showed up, all right, cool. Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, that was it. Outside of that, the fact that Isaiah Hartenstein started the game and got 2 quick fouls, the second one that he didn't really need to take, he should have just let it go, put us in a hole. The fact that RJ Barrett started the game bricking everything by trying to challenge Brook Lopez in the paint, instead of passing it to Emmanuel Quickley, instead of passing it to some of his other players on the floor, and just kept getting his shot blocked. And if not getting his shot blocked and putting up shots that either had no chance of going in or, you know, just didn't go in. And outside of that, there was nobody. Actually, let me give Dante DiVincenzo his props. He did what he was supposed to do. Probably the only player out there who you could say did what they were supposed to do. Hit half of his threes, hit more than half of his shots, 57% from the field, finished with 11 points, had 2 rebounds, 2 assists. Basic Dante DiVincenzo game. So I guess if anything, you can say Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo. Quickly didn't show up, 2-for-8 from the field. Josh Hart, 1-for-6 from the field. Quentin Grimes, absolute zero, like 1-for-3 from the field, missed his only 3-point attempt, which you went to the bench, Quentin Grimes. What is the point of you complaining about the amount of touches you're not getting? I understand you only played 15 minutes and 49 seconds in this game. The reason you only played that amount of minutes in the game is because the points that you scored, somebody had to force you to cut in order to score those points. That is not on the other team. That's not on the other players on your team. That is on you. You are not showing up. And the thing that you are supposed to be great at, the besides shooting, which you didn't do in this game, is defense. And every time I saw you on the court, live, in the garden, at home, you were getting abused. You're getting abused defensively. You're not supposed to. We had you on the best player on the other team. And you know, you either held your own or you understandably got, you know, taken advantage of, but you had somebody behind you when you did. It wasn't like you broke and there was nobody behind you. You did your part up until you knew you could get help. That's not what happened in this game. You got abused. And it's bad when as soon as you come in the game, the first thing that happens is Damian Lillard just drives past you like you're not there. Like your strength is supposed to be defense. So you were absolute zero. Josh Hart did nothing. Finished with 2 points. Like, nobody really showed up. Nobody helped them. RJ Barrett didn't help. Emmanuel Quickley didn't help. Quentin Grimes didn't help. Josh Hart didn't help. Taj Gibson. Like, if we're relying on Taj Gibson to be the one guy to show up, he's a guy that we just picked up off the street. He hasn't played all year. Like, he's still getting his legs under him. He's 38 years old. Like, that's not the guy that you need to get your high quality minutes from. It's not. And I can make the argument that he was the fourth best player for the Knicks. That is a problem. He should not be the fourth best player. He should always be the ninth best player on this team in the rotation as long as Mr. Robinson is out. And you got a problem when he is your fourth best player. You got a problem when you could say RJ Barrett was your best defender on the court. And I think that you can make the argument that he was. I don't think anybody played great defense, which is why the Bucks won 130-111 after two great defensive bouts, which I did not mention, against the Los Angeles Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets, held them both under 110 points. Great. Kudos. You guys did that. Don't lose 130 points to the other team after that. I don't care that it's the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, they're not a high 3-point shooting team. They're not. A lot of their points came in the paint too, and a lot of that happened because guys were making poor defensive rotations, were not getting out to 3-point shooters when they were open, the seldom amount of times that they were open, and either they were hitting their threes or you flew past them and then allowed easy shots because of that. You got to be more attentive on the defensive end. And nobody was for the Knicks. So I think that the proof is in the pudding, y'all. The Bucks have won their seventh straight game on the New York Knicks. And the proof is in the pudding. The Knicks are not in the Milwaukee Bucks league right now. Brunson is our star. Whether you want to say superstar, 1A, which we're going to get into in a couple minutes, doesn't matter. He's our best player because of his consistency, because of his effort, because of everything that the mentality and the way that he comes every night, whether he has a good game, bad game, whatever, you cannot complain about Jalen Brunson. Can't complain about, yes, he is a defensive liability, but he's a defensive liability because of how small he is, not because of his effort. He finished the game with 36 points, 7 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 block. Like, 57% from the field, 60% from three. He went 3-for-5 from three. The only thing that I could probably say about Jalen Brunson is, in a game like this where the rest of your team isn't bringing it, I might need you to shoot more than 5 threes. I know it's not an easy thing to ask. I know you can't shoot 9-for-9 from three every game, but you need to put up more than 5 threes when the rest of your team doesn't have it. Otherwise, you're going to get blown out like this the way that the Knicks did. That's the only thing I could say. Put up more threes because you guys were down by double digits for a lot of this game. And getting to the paint and getting those middies and getting those, on your average game, that's not going to get it done. You need to hit every single shot if that's how you're going to try to get back in this game. And Brunson, he earned that 36 points. It wasn't a natural. It wasn't the Phoenix Suns game where everything he put up was going in. No, he had to work, and he missed some that usually he missed, like usually he makes. And that effort, even with 36 points and everything else that he did, I think that there was a potential for him to do better. Maybe that's just how highly I think of Jalen Brunson. Which, moving on to the topic of the week, not everybody is as high on Jalen Brunson, y'all. Every once in a while, ESPN, some of these other guys, they start asking questions about the Knicks. And what are they missing? And we already know what they're going to say. The Knicks are missing that 1A star, that superstar, that guy that was going to lead them to a championship. And on one particular show, former Liberty superstar Becky Hammon, and she is now she has been a coach in the NBA. She was on for this segment, as was former NBA star Kendrick Perkins. I don't know if I want to call Kendrick Perkins star, but he was definitely a high value player in the league. And she said, the Knicks need that 1A, that star. They don't have one. Kendrick Perkins said, they got Jalen Brunson. And she said, he too little. Now, first of all, I'm tired of this topic because it's been clear from the beginning that the Knicks don't have that superstar, that guy like LeBron James, that guy like Nikola Jokic, right? I'm not going to keep listing names because then we're going to start getting into questions as to whether these guys are considered stars. Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? The guy that can be the number one guy on your team and can take you to the finals and can win you a championship. Very clear that the Knicks don't have that kind of guy. So we don't need to talk about it every other day. Like, all we can talk, what we should be talking about is how the Knicks are doing in spite of not having that guy and how well they're playing in spite of not having their guy. There was a good portion of the season so far where the Knicks were top 10 in offense, top 10 in defense, top 10 in net rating, top five in three-point accuracy. We didn't talk about that. So we don't need to talk about the superstar aspect. With that said, I guess I need to say my thoughts on what Becky Hammon said. She's right and she's wrong. You can have a small guard be your best player. There are exceptions to the rule. And Becky Hammon, to her credit, said as much. You can. Steph Curry, there are exceptions to the rule. I think her point, as she said in her additional statement afterward, is that for the most part, this is a big players league, right? When this is a big players league, that's the way that it's always been. There are exceptions to rules, Steph Curry, Isaiah Thomas. But even with that, the exception is that you have a roster around that player to cover the weaknesses to a great degree, to where it doesn't matter that your best player is a small guard. The Knicks don't have a roster of that ilk. They don't. If Julius Randle was a better defender, then maybe you could make that case. If RJ Barrett was more consistent, you could make that case. And if he was a better defender also, you could probably make that case. But that's not what the Knicks have. The Knicks need at least another player to make even utter that the Knicks could possibly be a championship contender with the Boston Celtics of the world, the Milwaukee Bucks of the world, the Phoenix Suns of the world, the Los Angeles Clippers of the world, the world where you have multiple guys, three guys that could be all-star, you know, in every any given season. The Knicks at most have two. At most. So that is my evaluation of the Knicks roster, y'all. Jalen Brunson can be a 1A star in the ilk of Steph Curry, in the ilk of Isaiah Thomas, in the ilk of some of these other small stars, if he has the right pieces around him. If there are other star players, not 1A stars, but, you know, 2A, 3A stars that just compliment him in a way that the Knicks can be a championship contender. And that's what I got for that topic, y'all. All right. We're going to speed through this next part real quick. We have upcoming games. Knicks versus the Milwaukee Bucks. Yes, we just did that, right? Didn't we just do Knicks versus Milwaukee Bucks in the Garden? Yes, we did. This is the Christmas edition. This is a game that will have already happened by the time you watch this episode. And yes, we just got smoked in the Garden Saturday. Maybe this means that I don't think the Knicks are going to... I think that the Knicks are not going to give us any Christmas presents this year. If they do, it will be solely on the strength of Milwaukee Bucks underestimating the Knicks and the New York Knicks coming out to play the way that they should have come out to play on Saturday. That's all I have. I cannot pick the Knicks here. I cannot pick the Knicks. I'm not saying that they cannot beat the Bucks, but the Bucks have to play bad and the Knicks have to play great. That's the only way they win. So does that mean that I'm going to pick them to win? No, it means that the Knicks are probably going to lose unless that happens. Next up, Wednesday, December 27th at Paycom Center. Knicks will play the Oklahoma City Thunder. Thunder is top 10 in offense, top 10 in defense, top 10 in three-point percentage. They are third in the West at 18-9. Chet Holmgren is making the case to be a star in his second year as an active NBA. I shouldn't even say active. In his first year as an active NBA player, he got drafted, not in this past draft, but the draft before that, and was injured for the whole season. And he came in, and he's showing out. He's probably going to win Rookie of the Year over Victor Wembanyama, who will be a solid but clear second. And Chet Holmgren is making the case to be the second star next to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Last season, New York Knicks split the series 1-1. I cannot see the Knicks losing three straight, which means if the Knicks beat the Milwaukee Bucks, there's a possibility that they lose to the Oklahoma City Thunder. But I don't expect the Knicks to beat Milwaukee, and therefore they're going to come with their A game against the Oklahoma City Thunder, especially Jalen Brunson. He's going to will this team into a win. I view Oklahoma City in the same vein that I view as the Knicks. You have title contenders who are clear, who are, you know, unless they face each other before the conference finals, they're clearly going to be in the conference finals and probably make it to the finals. Oklahoma City is not that. They're one tier below that, just like the Knicks. And that means that the Knicks could win. They could lose. I think this game is going to mean more to the Knicks than it will to the Oklahoma City Thunder. And therefore, they're going to come out of Oklahoma City with a victory. Next, Friday, December 29th at 7 o'clock at the Kia Center. Knicks will play the Orlando Magic. Magic won, at one point was a darling of the Eastern Conference. And you could probably still say that they are. At this time, they are the third best defensive team in the league where they were once first. That now belongs to the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're 17-11, fourth in the East behind the big three of Philadelphia, who's third, Milwaukee, who is second, and Boston, who is first. Those first three teams in the East, those are, I won't even say three, because I think we have to wait for Philly. But first two, definitely title contenders. Those are, the Knicks are not in that league. Magic is not. This is going to be status defining game for both of these teams. Magic are fourth in the East. I suspect they'll be fifth because they're only half game ahead of Miami Heat. And I do think that the Magic are going to lose the next game that they play. Knicks can't afford to lose this game. Status defining. If you want to be considered that one tier below a championship contender, below the Milwaukee Bucks, below the not the Philadelphia 76ers, but below the Boston Celtics, if you want to be considered like just under that, you have to beat a team like the Orlando Magic. There are teams that you have to just show, listen, we're on your level or better. Can't afford to lose this game. Likewise, the Magic can't afford to lose to the Knicks, but I don't think that the Magic are as good as the Knicks. Their defense is great. Their offense is not great. The Knicks defense, when they're clicking on all cylinders, is definitely top 10 offense and defense, and they shoot at a good clip for the most part, thanks to Dante DiVincenzo, thanks to Jalen Brunson, thanks to some of the other players on the Knicks. Knicks can't afford to lose this game, and they won't. Saturday, I'm going to preview Saturday's game against the Indiana Pacers, because if I cover it next week, the game will have already happened by the time that you guys watch it. So Saturday, December 30th, 2023 at 7 o'clock at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Clap it up for Indiana, first of all. Indiana, you have to be the only team with a somewhat acceptable arena name that I can't just outright laugh at. Kia Center, I'm not outright laughing at the Kia Center for the Orlando Magic. Gainbridge Fieldhouse, though, I don't know what Gainbridge is. I'm pretty sure that's some sort of like product or something like that. But because I don't know it, and because you have Fieldhouse after it, I'm going to just clap it up for you. Good job. Good job, Indiana. Don't change your arena name to something stupid like the Crypto.com Center. Pacers were also once a darling in the Eastern Conference. They were in a top three seed in the East before. They have free fallen. I'm not sure what past tense of free fall is, but they are down in the standings. They were once at the top of the East. They are currently eighth at 14-14, right at 500. They are still the best offense in the league. They are still the second worst defense in the league. And that is probably thanks to a Halliburton slump at the end of the in-season tournament. After they lost against the Los Angeles Lakers, they can't string wins together. So Halliburton is in a slump, and unless that gets fixed, I am going to say that this is the same thing as the Magic game, just with slightly lower stakes, but the Knicks cannot let down. They have to beat the Indiana Pacers. A lot of people were considering Tyrese Halliburton a clear all-star, clearly above Jalen Brunson and all that stuff. This is the game for the Knicks to put their stamp on and say, no, we have the better point guard. We have the better star in Jalen Brunson. And we have an additional star that the Pacers do not have in Julius Randle. The Knicks absolutely need to take this one and show that they are one tier above the Orlando Magic and the Indiana Pacers, who I think are in the same vein. And with that, I think it's clear that there's nothing left to talk about, y'all. Thank you once again for watching. Thank you for listening to the Knicks Take podcast. Once again, make sure you check out our links, check out our website, check out our social media, and make sure you write to us, tell us anything that you want us to do better. You know, I know some of people have said, take some call-ins or do some guests. Everything is probable, right? But it won't be probable until we build up our fan base, until we get those subscriptions up, until we get those views up. We got to keep building. And the more that we build, the better that we get. I promise you we'll get better. So I'd like to bid you adieu. Thank you for listening to the Knicks Take podcast. Peace out, y'all. Bang! Bang!